So today's readings, the first reading and the gospel reading particularly, they talk about two spectacular events. First, you have this fiery torch that appears and consumes Abraham's animal sacrifice. How spectacular would that be if today during Mass a fiery torch came down and consumed this body and the bread and the wine, and gosh, we would be standing here with our mouth wide open, isn't it? So it's a spectacular sight. Now, the transfiguration is equally spectacular. Jesus goes up the mountain with his disciples, and you have Jesus transfigured, and the disciples get to see the glory of God and the glory of Jesus. Now, I read these two events and I began to reflect upon these events both from God's perspective and the perspective of the people who experienced it. So I asked myself this question: what did it take for God to get a flaming torch to come from the sky and consume Abraham's sacrifice? What does it take? And I thought, well, for the one who created the sun and the moon and the stars, and that's child's play. It's like somebody, a little kid, lighting a match. No big deal. But for Abraham and Sarah, was it a big deal for them to know that their descendants will be as many as the stars in heaven and the sands of the sea? Of course, that's a big deal for them, right? It's a really big deal for them. The transfiguration, what did it take for God to reveal God's glory? Really nothing. God just showed to the people who God is. But for Peter, James, and John, boy, that was a great deal. They said, God, let's just stay here. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that these events, from God's perspective, they're really not a big deal. But for the people who experienced it, it's a big deal. And that leads me to this question: what's the big deal for God? Is there a big deal for God? You reach the end of the first reading and you begin to realize there is a big deal for God. And what's the big deal for God? God makes a covenant with Abraham. And you might ask, what's the big deal about that? See, the covenant ties God down to the fate of humanity. Right? By making a covenant with Abraham, God subjects God's self to human frailty. See, God made us free, right? We can freely choose God or reject God. And so when God makes a covenant with Abraham, God subjects or becomes the victim of human freedom. And the transfigured Jesus, Son of God, he appears on the earth because of the covenant. The transfiguration is a sign of God's fidelity to the covenant. Jesus coming down the mountain and being crucified, that's a sign of God's fidelity to the covenant. Jesus on the cross is a sign of God's fidelity to the covenant. It was the covenant that nailed Jesus to the cross. It was the covenant that killed the Son of God. And I'm saying this is a big deal for God. Okay, having said that, I want to talk about briefly three things that, and these are not practical implications, these are merely reflections on the fact that God makes a big deal of our salvation. So first thing I want to talk about is the second reading, where, and it's rather harsh, so listen to this carefully. Paul says, for many, as I have told you and now tell you with tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Why do I focus on this? Because I just said that the cross is a big deal for God. And Paul is saying there are some people who make themselves enemies of the cross of Christ. And he continues, their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Those are harsh words. What do I make of that statement? Folks, I don't want to stand on this altar here and judge people who make different choices than I do. That's not the purpose of the statement, I think. Neither am I saying that Paul is being judgmental when he makes a statement like that. I don't think that is the purpose of the statement as well. This statement is not meant to make me think of those people who conduct themselves shamefully. That is not my focus. That's not my job. The statement is an invitation to me to realize the power of the cross of Christ. And I'm saying again, because the cross is a result of the covenant, and that's a big deal for God. So it's an invitation for me to make a big deal of the cross of Christ, to treat the cross of Christ with the dignity that it deserves. So this statement is an invitation to me to experience the overwhelming power of God's work in our midst. So this statement is an invitation to understand the implication of God's covenant with us, and then to bear witness to it, and then to live accordingly. So it's the first thing. Paul is pleading with us, do not let the power of the cross lose its hold on you, because it's a big deal. First point. Secondly, why does God make a big deal about us? Why? Why does God subject God's self to human frailty and freedom? And I think the primary reason for this is that when God looks at creation, and when God looks at every human person, what does God see? God sees a reflection of God's self. I'll give an example. Those of you who have kids, how many times have you looked at your kid and said to someone, boy, he's so much like him, right? Or she's so much like me. I see myself in them, right? How many times have you felt that? This is exactly how God feels. God looks at us. God looks at creation, and God says, this is a reflection of me. After all, we are made in God's image and likeness. That is why God makes a big deal. In other words, folks, we are a big deal. If only we could look at ourselves the way God looks at us, we will understand why God makes a big deal of salvation. I can see why God thinks we are worth a covenant. I can see why God thinks that we are worth the cross. I can see why God thinks that we are worth the redeeming cost, the cost of our redemption, Jesus on the cross. Thirdly, the transfiguration. I said in the beginning that it's possible to look at this event from God's perspective and our perspective. So how shall we look at the transfiguration from God's perspective? So if Jesus appears on the mountain, the disciples are watching, and the voice that says, this is my chosen son, listen to him. I think from God's perspective, the transfiguration is Jesus' gift to the disciples. God is telling these disciples, here is my sign of the covenant. Listen to him. In other words, Jesus is salvation. He is hope. He is life. He is God. So from God's perspective, the transfiguration is God's gift of Jesus to the world. And from our perspective, what does that mean? The voice said, "This is my chosen son." Now we realize that in Jesus, we are chosen. In other words, what was said of Jesus is said of us because of our baptism. So the transfiguration is where you and I can hear the voice of God saying, "You are my chosen son. You are my chosen daughter." Folks, and for me, that is a big deal. Who am I? Who is God? The transfiguration and the events in the scriptures reveal that to us. God makes a big deal of us because of our salvation, but then we need to make a big deal of the cross of Christ simply because we are the sons and daughters of God in Christ. So that's why I said in my introduction, this could be our transfiguration experience. We are at the mountain this morning, and Jesus will reveal himself to us in the bread and in the wine. This is God's work in our midst. This is a big deal. May the experience that Peter and James and John had, may the experience that Abraham and Sarah had, may that be ours today as well. The people of God said, Amen.
Will the candidates please come forward? Alexis, Dylan.